You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan.
Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future, assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast.
This week, Zach Shipley of No Topic Required joins us to talk about his favorite Toys to Life game, Disney Infinity, which just happens to be the only Star Wars The Force Awakens tie-in game. I buy and finally play more of LEGO Dimensions, including the Doctor Who pack. Future Retro unveils a little bit of hypocrisy on the subject, and Vink talks about a Famicom Disk System game he thinks everyone should play. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Hey, Vink.
Hello.
So you may or may not know this, but I finally got my own copy of LEGO Dimensions.
Wow, I had no idea.
There's some disagreement as to whether or not I've mentioned this before. But for sake of argument, okay. Let's just say I haven't. And I have that thing now for my Wii U.
Wow.
I bought it in the Black
Friday. For the Wii U?
Yeah, for the Wii U. You know, I could have gotten it for a PS4, but, you know, decided I'd get it for Wii U, because what's the difference, right? The difference is Nintendo, I bet. But I got my own copy and installed that. That was a whole fun thing, because as it turned out, I needed about a 3.5 gigabyte update file to start playing it. And I did not have 3.5 gigabytes left on my Wii U storage, including a 16 gigabyte flash drive, thumb drive, that I'm not supposed to be using for anything, apparently, because it might die.
Now, if you ever buy any expansion to it, it's got to download more updates.
I only had to download the one.
Okay, or like, does that update include lots of different expansions? Like, is it?
I'm guessing it must, because okay. I didn't have to download anything new when I used the expansion I had bought, which is actually the first thing I bought.
Okay. Okay.
Was the expansion. I got the Doctor Who set.
Ooh, Doctor Who. Speaking of science fiction, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming back.
Yeah, and I pledged for it.
Me too. Way too much. Enough that I could have bought Disney Infinity, what is it? What are your toys?
LEGO Dimensions.
LEGO Dimensions, that's it.
Well, maybe someone else can help us clear up the whole Disney Infinity thing.
Well, who can help us clear that up? We need an expert.
You'd need another Mystery Science Theater donor.
Ooh!
All right.
There we go.
Yeah, I saw you and Dawn, or at least Dawn anyway, liked my post on that on Facebook. So I'm like, all right, I am in good company.
And how good of you to introduce my wife before introducing me.
This is
my name
everyone.
Is Zach in any way. to the good dojo listeners out
there.
And my wife is Dawn, and she also likes Mystery Science Theater and approved my donation.
Nice. My wife's going to find out about it in about a week. And yep.
Mine doesn't know yet.
I donated enough to get a t-shirt. That's all. I just want a t-shirt.
I almost went that high.
I donated substantially more than that. I was fighting an epic battle with 19-year-old me, who was very upset when it was canceled. So
understandable. I didn't realize it had been so long, because I guess I was watching reruns on Sci-Fi Channel or Comedy Central, wherever the heck it was at the time.
When it was doing its Comedy Central run, I didn't even have Comedy Central, because it didn't. The area I lived in, it wasn't even an option. But I had a friend in Minnesota who'd tape it for me. So
old school, tape it on actual tape.
Yep.
Keep
yep.
circulating the tapes.
That's exactly it. So I think, and then there were a few of them at the video rental shop. I believe it was at a grocery store. telling you how old these are. And But I think one of the first ones I remember is Manos, which was regarded as a classic. So there we go.
Yeah, I figure I could probably get the Blu-ray for less than $200 once it actually gets released.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But definitely, but that $200 got me the Blu-rays, a coffee mug, a flash drive with episodes on, a T-shirt, a poster, a postcard set, and DRM-free downloads of all the episodes, too. So, I mean, oh, yeah.
Got the one episode. Yeah.
I still think that might come with some of the classic episodes. I thought it was $35 or more.
I looked at all the tiers and didn't mention anything about the classic episodes until you got the $85 one.
You can get most of the old episodes on Vimeo for like $2 or $3 each.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then, or you spend like $300 to get the entire set.
There are a few on the official Mystery Science Theater 3000 YouTube as well. They're annotated. So,
well, at any rate, I spent $100 on both the expansion and Lego Dimensions. So that's one reason I did not spend more on this particular pledge.
You get 6 classic episodes.
I do.
You do.
I do. Where did you see that?
On the chart that they have on the campaign.
Ah, stupid chart. Got to read the chart. The actual description told me nothing. I still haven't watched the video. Anyway, welcome, Zach Shipley. Good to have a fellow geek on board. Also,
yeah, because usually we don't have geeks on the show.
Listen. Fellow MST3K geek is what I meant to say.
Okay.
And of the now defunct, I guess, No Topic Required podcast?
For the moment. It's on indefinite hiatus. But there has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Well, by the time this episode comes out, I hope everyone will have, although I don't think I will, because kids.
Oh, I had my Star Wars. Here's another thing where I bought way in advance. Speaking of Mystery Science here, I bought my Star Wars tickets like 2-3 months ago. And then it was for this Thursday, the Thursday here, like, you know, where it's coming out, the first showing. And then my daughter has like a program at school. Her holiday program is the exact same night. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's the same time. It's at 7 o'clock. It's literally the same time.
Now, if this was an 80s sitcom, you'd find a way to do both.
Yeah, it's not an 80s sitcom, though, and I try to be a good dad, so I sold the tickets to a friend.
Oh, man. Opportunity wasted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to watch some BoJack Horseman now.
Ah, yes. Oh, man, when is the next series of that coming out?
Right? Well, I think the last one just came out.
Stupid Netflix with their instant gratification and long waits.
So again, thank you, Zach, for coming on. And Zach is here because our Toys to Life episode angered him so much. Because I didn't know what I was talking about.
I don't know if it like angered me so much, but it was kind of funny. You talk about Toys to Life where neither of you really had like much of a background in it, and you hadn't even bought Lego Dimensions at that point, so you're like, I think you do this. I can't remember what it was, but
yeah,
it was some kind of like phrasing like, I think you just put it on there and then it just works. I'm like, oh god,
and it comes to life like Toy Story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I said some wrong things, and as I learned more, I edited out some of those wrong things, but I couldn't like fully correct them. So now I know better, and that's we're back basically to fix some of those wrong things, and also to learn about these games from someone who's actually played them longer than a few weeks.
Yeah,
This is gonna be the Toys to Life episode again, just like remastered.
Well, kind of. Really. I mean, I wanna cover a little bit more about how kind of quantizing the gameplay stuff into these little toys.
All right.
Like,
well,
you know,
then Zach,
like physical DLC. Mm-hmm.
Then Zach, you aren't our CGI Jabba the Hutt inserted into the original.
No, I'm your prequel superfluous character who's part of the story but doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay. Great.
I'm your Newt Gunray.
You're important enough to be in a film, but not important enough to be referenced ever again. Okay.
I'm Dennis the Phantom Menace.
All right.
Oh no.
Let's move on.
Sure, yeah. Let's
toys.
Yeah, let's get into our main topic.
All right.
Big meaty main topic.
Delicious main topic.
So to quickly finish up my story about playing the game, I did eventually get that Monday. I was able to eventually pick up an external hard drive for, you know, not quite Black Friday prices, but close enough. I couldn't find anything less than like a 3 terabyte drive that had a power supply with it, especially after Phil Bond had his problem getting an external drive.
Why did you need one with a power supply?
Because otherwise you have to use a Y cable.
Yeah.
And trying to find one in the store apparently is not an easy thing to do. And I wanted the instant gratification of just going home. And actually, it was going to take longer than that because I had to switch some things around. So I don't have the 3 terabyte one on there. I have a smaller 1.5 terabyte one, which is still way more than I possibly will ever use.
I put like a 300 gigabyte one on, and I can't imagine that I will ever download more than that. So
exactly. So, but I did initially play Lego Dimensions without the patch installed, and I am to understand that was a horrible mistake because there were a lot of day one bugs, but also a lot of the other areas weren't available until you've patched it. But that's also paired with the fact that you need a character from one of those zones to actually play. But I mean, even before I got Lego Dimensions, I was trying to put together the TARDIS and K-9 without instructions because those things are unlocked in the game.
Wait, what?
Yes. Only instructions you get for the level add-on pack and even the actual base set are in the game itself. So the one that came with the level expansion for Doctor Who just told you how to put the character together, which is like, you know, legs, head, hair, screwdriver.
it's good that they mentioned that because I would have totally messed up that whole legs, head thing.
I got K-9 just based on the picture on the box, but the TARDIS was harder.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't see, you know, inside what the internal configuration was. And I eventually got a hint again from Phil that like every piece is used in every configuration. So I can't leave anything out. And that kind of made it click for me.
Wow, that must be really difficult to put together because like you get the outside done, then you're doing the inside and it's way bigger.
Exactly. Yeah, I might have made some vague comments about how like there's like a whole Lego set, and there is a whole Doctor Who Lego set, but it's entirely separate. I just wanted to point that out. It comes with a different Doctor. It's the 12th Doctor, but different style and everything.
Oh, okay.
So I can still get that, but it's like $100, and I just paid for this game. So I learned the following things playing Lego Dimensions. Indeed, all the instructions are in the game, so I ended up building the portal, and it took me, I don't even know how long, like half an hour. I want to say, and I didn't have to, you know, you can just stick the characters on the pedestal or whatever, the pad, and it'll work just fine. But, you know, I needed the full experience, right? So I put together the portal, and then played the game. As for the story, there's a different Batman, voicing Batman, the different guy voicing Batman than, who is it?
So not Will Arnett.
Not Will Arnett. Although, funnily enough, like in the story to the game, that Batman does go to the Lego movie world where there's also a Batman and there's two of them. And that is voiced by Will Arnett or someone who sounds like him long enough to establish that. We're going to be going with this Batman for this story. Okay, thanks.
Well, the Batman was voiced in Lego Batman 2, which I want to say was like the first Lego game with like voice work. Up until that point, it was all like...
Oh.
Yeah, like all the Lego games, none of the Lego games had any voice work, like Lego Star Wars or anything like that. It was always just like music and all the characters kind of like smiling or making motions. They never need any translating or anything like that. That's one of the reasons why the games are so cute. But then Lego Batman 2, when I played that, I was like, whoa, why is everyone talking all the time?
Did you play Lego City Undercover?
I did not play Lego City Undercover. That's
a fully voiced one, and probably around the same time. Oh, great game.
Lego Batman 2 came out in 2012, June 2012. So I think everything since then has been voiced.
Wii U Lego City Undercover was a launch title for Wii. So, Sean,
it was 2012.
Yeah.
Wii, like the original Wii?
No. Sorry. Wii U.
Yeah, so that was 2012. That was like late 2012. And
I remember Lego Lord of the Rings used voice from the movies. That also came out late. That came out late 2012. But that was like all like just all the voices are clipped directly out of the movies. Since it was just Lego Lord of the Rings was just telling the movie story anyway.
So this means that the Batman in this is literally from that other Lego game.
Yeah, the Batman from that is from Lego Batman.
That's a nice crossover. The game.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a little more sense than finding out that Gandalf didn't die with the Balrog because Batman saved him.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played a Lego game before, so it's really cute. There's lots of goofball comedy. Like the first level is the Wizard of Oz, and Batman is immediately suspicious of all the saccharine cuteness. Very, very interesting game. But basically, the way it works is that you have the pad. There are three spots that you can put the characters on for a total of seven areas. And then you have vehicles. So there's three characters and one vehicle that came with this set. And those three characters are Batman, Wild Style from the Lego Movie, and Gandalf. And then there's the Batmobile. And those three characters are read-only. And the vehicles, which are the ones you can buy upgrades for and then have different configurations for, can be writable. In fact, they are not even written to when you get them. Like the Doctor Who set came with two different bases for the canine and the TARDIS. And it didn't write to one of them until you've put them on the gamepad. So that's something I learned through this process. I also learned that the gamepad's a control input. So there was like a spot in the Doctor Who level where I got stuck because there were these different colored blocks in this 8-bit-ish type area. And there were colors on the pad glowing, corresponding to those blocks. And I didn't quite get it at first. Thought the game was glitching out on me and just quit. And then realized later that I did something terribly, terribly wrong. And I was supposed to move the Doctor character to one of those three sections to make it those blocks appear. Hint for those who are stuck on that, by the way. But a lot of that happens where the Wicked Witch of the West will capture one of your characters in the force field, and then you break free by moving your character to another spot in the pad, for instance. So there's input interactivity there, which is kind of interesting. But I'm more focused on the fact that I can't play Doctor Who levels without having the Doctor Who amiibo. I mean, Lego figure. I mean,
yeah, you know I mean, that's, I think that's what's keeping me away from these games. Because as I told you, I really enjoyed the Lego game I played, but it was totally self-contained. And I wouldn't even mind a Toys to Life game that was, you know, a complete set. You know what I mean? If Lego Dimensions cost $300 and it came with a Back to the Future set, a Doctor Who set, and a something else that I care about set. And you know, that was it. I think I'd be really happy with it, but I think its main draw is, and for a lot of people is that, you know, it'll be a different experience depending on what you buy and what you do. And that's great. But for me, I want a complete experience. 'Cause can you beat the game? Is it a beatable game or is it more of an MMO?
You can
thing?
Play through the whole game. Just playing the story with what comes in the box.
Okay.
You do get deposited into the Vortan world, which is, I guess, where all the vortexes are.
Okay.
to the different worlds, and then you can go into these. Like you play the Doctor Who level, for instance.
Yeah.
And it deposits you in a Doctor Who world, so it's not the same thing as the level you just played. But there are two versions of Trenzlore, which is kind of weird. But moody and very nice. It's interesting stuff that they put in there. But you'll be in the game and playing something, and you'll come across an object that you can't interact with because you need a certain character with a certain kind of ability. And it's like a constant reminder in every single level that you need more toys than you have to unlock absolutely everything. as you go along.
That just sounds insidious to me.
I'm pretty sure neither of you played Dragon Age, but there was something similar to that where you'd like run across like a wandering merchant and they want to give you like this golem rod, and unless you had the DLC, like you couldn't actually like take it, buy it from me. You have to actually go to this to like the like Microsoft Marketplace or whatever to buy the DLC, and then you could give it to you. It's like, oh, that's just so fourth wall breaking, and this game is all about that. So if you don't like that, then you're gonna hate this game.
Well, I mean, I am fine with games breaking the fourth wall. I'm okay with that. I think what would get okay. Let's say you've bought what sets for your
just Doctor Who so far.
Just Doctor Who. Now, what have you run into that's not Doctor Who related in your gameplay so far, or has everything been Doctor Who related?
Yeah, no, it's not specific to like a character per se. So there are like vines or something that I can't.
Watch for more than 6 seconds. Yes.
A good example. Ha, cute. No, I have to be able to, in the Doctor Who level, for instance, there is an area where I need to be able to dig, and I can't do that unless I have someone like Scooby-Doo to do it.
Okay.
And like, it's the last piece to, a gigantic Cyberman that I can't assemble otherwise.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
You have your Doctor Who characters.
Yeah.
Can you enter the world of Back to the Future?
Not without Marty McFly.
Okay.
I mean, there might be a Back to the Future level like in the story mode.
Okay.
But like, there is a specific like Back to the Future level pack that you can't get into, and there's like a Back to the Future Vorton world that you can't get into without Marty.
Okay, but you're playing with you've got your Doctor Who characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're playing, and you want to get to end credits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From now till end credits, are you going to run into Back to the Future elements if you don't buy Back to the Future toys?
It doesn't work that way. What you're unlocking are like little like Lego pieces or other collectible things, and that gets you other things in the game.
Yeah.
So it's not blocking off an area of the game to you per se, but like there's those three different packs. There's like the level packs, which come with a character and two accessories, essentially. There are character packs, which come with just like one character and one accessory. And then there's like an in-between that's like has like more pieces, but still aren't level packs. And they're like $30, $25, and $15 respectively, I think. I mean, you know, going in descending order of stuff. So like the Scooby-Doo one's a level pack. So you have to spend $30 on that one. But like Unikitty's a character pack, so that's $15.
So okay, you've only bought Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So basically, you have the game Lego Doctor Who right now.
I have the main Lego Dimensions.
There are shared assets of a story, but you're not going to encounter other franchise components without buying into those.
Well, there is a Doctor Who level, I think, in the main story. I'm not entirely sure, actually.
I think this is actually like the brilliant thing about Lego Dimensions is that there are so many Lego games at this point. And I know I mentioned Lord of the Rings, Batman, those Star Wars, everything else. Not every franchise is going to get the full-size, you know, $50, $60 Lego game treatment. Doctor Who would probably be a hard sell at $60 for a lot of people.
Probably.
But for a few bucks as an add-on to an existing title, you could go a lot, and I think Dimensions has proved this, they can go a lot deeper on games, something that probably wouldn't warrant a full-size game, and just do a few levels. And if it sells really well and really popular, well, then you could do a few more.
Why would you bring a positive aspect to this? I'm supposed to be angry, darn it.
No. But
would you have ever gotten a Doctor Who platform action title, Lego or otherwise, without this?
I already have one. That's it's called impossible. Dalek Attack. It was on the Amiga.
That's even as popular as Doctor Who is in the modern age, it seems highly unlikely, if not impossible.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And this, like, I haven't played many Doctor Who games, but like this by itself is probably the best one I ever have played.
I guess, but let's look at it this way. I mean, I know what you're saying, and yes, I would definitely pay a couple more dollars, you know, to have. But But with all of these things, to have the full Doctor Who experience, you're going to be paying more than $60.
Yeah, you have to get 100. You have to have $130.
But then you also have toys.
That's true. That's true. And that's why I said in the previous episode, like, this is why I was gravitated towards this versus another title like Disney Infinity. Because, you know, I keep thinking about Kingdom Hearts and how this was like one of the first like big mashup properties of like video game stuff and Disney stuff. And you had characters crossing over that wouldn't normally meet. And you were in different areas and different worlds that were nostalgic and interesting and fun. And, like, I heard Disney Infinity was the thing that existed, but I never really followed up on it because, you know, again, you had to have the toys to play it. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing.
Allow me to burst your bubble. Disney Infinity does not cross over quite as well as you probably would think.
Oh, no.
I have to say, that's something where LEGO Dimensions, it sounds like, does really well.
But
like
Infinity, Zach.
They don't give a rat's butt about what's going on story wise in LEGO Dimensions. Like, oh, put the two different Batman together and acknowledge the fact that there's multiple LEGO Batmans, no problem. Whatever. Whereas so I've got Disney Infinity version 2. I've not gotten 3 yet because it ain't Christmas yet, and I'm not gonna buy myself a game that I might get for Christmas right beforehand. I'm not gonna take that away from, you know, whatever. Maybe I'll get it up afterwards. So I've got two, and I've got a lot of the Marvel characters. But as you play, like, for instance, the Avengers set, like the starter set came with Black Widow, Thor, and Iron Man. As you play through the New York City area, you'll find like coins or whatever that, like, with Spider-Man or Nova or other like Marvel characters that you could also play in that same set. You got to get all those before you can even use Spider-Man in there. So that kind of disappointed me because I realized, like, if I can't even use Spider-Man, who's that other Marvel character, there's fat chance of me dropping Donald Duck into the middle of this world. And that was one of the things I was kind of, like, looking forward to. Now, Disney Infinity does have what's called a toy box mode, which where you can build levels, and there's, frankly, just thousands of levels that other people have built where you can assign your characters or use whatever characters you want in those levels. You know, build a racing level, build a platform action level, build a, you know, level with enemies or whatever. And so there the rules are a little bit, you know, less written. You can drop whatever characters you want into it. But yeah, when you're playing like the more narrative parts of it, the Avengers set was just, you know, it's a story about Loki bringing frost giants into New York. And so, you know, I played as Iron Man. My wife played as Black Widow, and we, you know, beat frost giants for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever. Nice. And then we got real frustrated trying to beat Loki. And I remember at one point, Black Widow died, like the character on screen, we ran out of life. And Dawn just, like, in a moment of frustration, took the Black Widow figure off the base and put Thor down. And so Thor immediately drops in. It's like, oh, look, however many toys you have determines how many lives you have.
Oh, no.
we have to go get out all the other toys.
Wow.
Now.
Brilliant.
Pay to win. Pay to win.
It really was a pay to win thing.
If they really want to, create some emotional impact in the video game, I think if your character dies in the game, it should just melt on the base.
So the Infinity base has three spots for it. Two for characters, because you can do two players, and then one for a playset or other item.
And a slot to just feed money.
Yeah,
to feed the money right in there.
No, if you could get DLC, you know, then that'd be one thing. But you can't, as far as I know. I've never looked for it other than just downloading other players' creations.
Yeah,
you don't pay anything for that because it's all shared. No, you have to go to the store and buy yourself a little figurine to go with it. The whole reason I got Disney Infinity, honestly, is because I was looking at this was a year and a half ago. Guardians of the Galaxy was real big. I had, like, I think all of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters from the Marvel Legends line as toys, like, in my cart somewhere, like Kmart or something like that. I was like, oh my god, the entire wave, this is all of them. And I realized I would be spending, like, because they're $20 a head, like $120, $30 on all of them. And then I looked over at Disney Infinity where I was like, I could buy this video game and all the characters and play with them. And that's what Toys to Life really is. For me anyway, it's like, oh, I could just buy the Guardians of the Galaxy set with the game and buy Rocket and Groot, because the Guardians of the Galaxy set comes with Star-Lord and Gamora. So I had I bought Groot and Rocket Drax separately. And then later they released Yondu and Ronan. But I haven't picked them up, honestly. I should probably do that before they start to disappear. But yeah, you can buy all the characters from it, and then you have something to do with your toys. So unless you're gonna actually like play make believe on your on your desk or whatever with your action figures, and I cast no aspersions upon those who do that.
you've just alienated half of our listeners.
Well, you know what? Going viral today is an SNL sketch where they for Star Wars toys that's, you know, it's probably going to be viewed by virtually anyone by the time this podcast comes out. That where the Star Wars toys is this commercial is like invaded by, you know, like these neckbeard older Star Wars collectors who say like, it's like the kids are like, you can play this, and then one guy goes, or you can just leave it in the box. And it just kind of and so this probably funny guys there. I always open my toys, but whatever. Yeah. But I saw this as being like something I could do a little better. Yes, the Disney Infinity characters do not move. The toys themselves are not really toys; they're just figurines. But they look cool in their initial poses, and the fact that I can make them move in a game to me was like that's cool. And it's better than it's kind of better than a toy. I also appreciate that Disney has, with some exceptions, virtually stopped production of all other kinds of video games. Disney Infinity is their platform for games. There was no Guardians of the Galaxy game. There was the Guardians of the Galaxy thing. There was no Avengers Age of Ultron game, in spite of the fact that they invaded every other kind of cross promotion that they possibly could with that movie. There was just there's a Hulkbuster and Ultron figure for Disney Infinity 3. There's no Force Awakens game. Only Disney Infinity.
Okay.
And I mean, there's Star Wars Battlefront. But that's different. But there's no dedicated Force Awakens game. The only way you can play as Finn or Rey or any of these characters from the new movie is to buy their Disney Infinity character sets. Or even like Star Wars Rebels. Now, there's tons of Star Wars characters from this in this new set, but they still have you can still get straight Disney stuff. There's like Inside Out characters. Anna and Elsa from Frozen were in Disney Infinity 1, but now Olaf is available in 3, so you can build like better Frozen levels.
Is it backwards compatible?
With characters, yes. With playsets, no. My Avengers playset from 2 will not work in 3. However, I can on any of the Marvel levels or toy box stuff, I can use Iron Man or Thor or whatever. And then they're going to be kind of relaunching Disney Infinity 3 in spring with a bigger like Marvel set. From what I understand, they're doing some kind of like big versus set. So there's going to be a new like Captain America without a mask I think they have to pay Chris Evans some kind of likeness fee because it looks exactly like Chris Evans. And so they'll have like kind of like a in time for Civil War, they'll have like a Marvel Civil War set, which is weird because the all the characters in these, although like I guess they're in a way themselves loosely based on the movies, all the voice acting is all taken from the Disney XD animated series.
Oh, so,
yeah, it's not Robert Downey Jr. voicing Iron Man. It's Adrian Pasdar who voices Iron Man, like he does in the Avengers Assemble cartoon series. All it's the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like all the voice actors are from that series. Or I think I haven't played a Spider-Man, but I'm almost positive if I looked at the voice actor right now, it'd be the voice actor from Ultimate Spider-Man.
It should be Tobey Maguire. He doesn't seem to do much these days.
Hey, look, he had his chance, okay? You know, same thing with what's his name? Or Andrew Garfield. He had his chance. He had his chance.
Edward Norton Jr.
At this rate, we'll all have been Spider-Man at some point. So, I mean, if they keep replacing actors. So I'm not really that worried about it.
So all right, how much did it set you back for everything that you've gotten so far?
Oh, that's a really good question. Because I've got a lot. I can't remember how much Disney... I remember exactly how I got the Disney Infinity 2. It was... I got from with coupons at Dave and Buster's, because for a while there I was regularly playing at Dave and Buster's trying to get enough tickets to buy an Xbox One. And then I bought an Xbox One for regular pay money at a store. So I had a whole bunch of coupons left over. So I got that and amongst other things. But the individual figures, I want to say it was like I got the Guardians of the Galaxy 2-pack with Star-Lord and Gamora for $25, maybe $30. I think the retail, like they're $35. And then the individual figures are anywhere from $10 to $13, depending on if you get them on sale. They're basically priced exactly like Amiibos.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
So a lot of times, like when Toys R Us or Best Buy does a sale on Amiibos, they're generally doing it on all Toys Delight figures. So that's what I'm going to like, you know, try to stock up on whatever I'm missing, you know, check for stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to trying to, there's no Mace Windu figure yet, but I want to pair it with the Nick Fury and see what would happen. Cause Samuel L. Jackson does voice Nick Fury in the Disney Infinity game, which was nice.
Okay.
And one thing that frustrated me about the Disney Infinity is there's some characters that appear in the game that don't have figurines, like Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel pops up.
No.
Halfway through the Avengers mission, and she serves as like a mission director for a good chunk of the game. Like, so you go back to her to turn in or pick up a new mission. And I have her unlocked for using as a toy box character, but there's no figurine. So I'm hoping that they'll do a figurine at some point, because I just want to have I bought the Carol Marvel Legends figure anyway, because there's a figurine.
You know, it just occurred to me why Lego Dimensions is so DC heavy.
Yeah. They did do like a standalone. The last, as far as we know, they said it's not the last period, but the last standalone Lego game was Lego Marvel Avengers.
Okay.
And for that matter, there'll be no Star Wars characters in Lego Dimensions either. They're very separate.
That makes sense.
Dimensions has been smart enough to like not just gobble up Warner Brothers properties, but also Universal properties, which is why you see things like Back to the Future in there.
So I guess this is where I'm stuck. Then is because to Vink's question earlier, did I have to actually download anything? And it's like, no, I didn't. I just had to get the patch. And it seems like everything's in there. So as long as I have all the characters and I just plop them onto the base, I could play more game than I have access to if I just buy the disc.
Practically everything has a giant patch these days at launch, so I don't even consider that like a red flag.
Well, no. But I mean, like, you know, if I were to get like a DLC level to something, at least the way the model has been, then, you know, it'll download something. And yeah, the on-disc DLC thing is kind of a moot point now because of those enormous patches.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. I mean, like, we're back to this point where you know, like if it was on disc DLC, you just had to have a code, basically. Like your DLC was just a code to unlock something. Mm-hmm. And now that code is just my read-only figure that I plop onto the base. It's like, oh, now you can hop through this portal and you can go to this world now. Because you've gained access to it. It's on my hard drive. It's taking up space on this $100 hard drive I had to buy. And just like,
taking up space on your shelf now too.
That's true.
That's my deal. Because we've asked what the monetary cost is, and I'm an adult now. I don't have. I mean, if I want something, I can save up, you know, a few paychecks and I can buy it. But what I don't have is space. That's, I think that's the real issue. Like, what, I mean, with all of these figures and things you have, how much, you know, real estate is this taking up in your house?
That is a fantastic question. It's probably, apart from the price, going to be a limiting factor in what I end up doing, because, you know, we've reached this point where, like, games used to take up a lot of physical space, and now they've condensed onto hard drives, and now we're, like, reversing the trend where you don't just buy access to the game titles, you're buying this stuff. And I can easily see this game taking up more space than, like, my entire complete yep. Rock Band set.
Well, unlike the Rock Band drums, these don't have to sit on the floor. I can put them up on a shelf.
That is true. But how many shelves? You were telling me a story before the podcast about all the shelves you were going to buy.
Yeah, I know. But what I have, like, this big TV stand with a shelf above the TV. And so I've got, like, basically in a big row, all my Amiibos, in two rows, on the left side of my Xbox One's Kinect. And on the right side, I've got all my Disney Infinity figures. So it doesn't take up more space than what I have. I've got certainly room to put more if I need to.
It's such a weird thing that we're reversing. Remember when we were young, they had those big box games or whatever, like PC games with huge manuals and things. And then and cartridges were huge. And then we got down to smaller packaging, thin packs, more environmentally friendly, get rid of the manuals and everything. And yeah, now DLC is heavy. You know what I mean? Like DLC, you need a shelf for now. Well, and see, that's interesting to me.
That's why I don't want to call it DLC anymore. I'm gonna go back to the old way of talking about things. They're expansion packs.
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to call you know, it's like if you got Brood War on StarCraft, that's an expansion pack. That's not DLC. What's a DLC? Mm-hmm. And that's an expansion. So these are all expansions to that game. For that matter, I actually do remember the first piece of physical DLC. And this is going back 10 years. Yeah, 10 years, almost exactly. When Halo 2 came out on Xbox, it wasn't the first Xbox game to have, like, maps you could download, because Xbox was the first, like, console with a hard drive that was standard.
Yeah.
So anybody could download stuff to it. They started releasing map packs for, like, I think it was, like, you know, $5 for two of them or whatever. But eventually they had a plan to collect all of them by the time they were all released on a disc. And so I bought a Halo 2 disc for $20 that was just the maps that you could download directly to your hard drive. And so that was a piece of physical DLC that I owned, even though I was so fanatical about Halo 2 at the time that I was not afraid to just go ahead and buy the disc, even though I owned half the maps from having bought them through the Xbox store at that point.
They did that with back in the PlayStation 2 days, some of the ones in Japan had special compendium discs that you needed to have the original to play. So even back then, even with non-hard drive systems, basically, the expansion would have the entire content of the first game on it, so you didn't have to constantly swap out discs, but it would only allow you to play it if you had a save file from the original game.
Mm.
It's very interesting there.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Super Robot Tyson Z is one that I can think of that had that. But and then there were a few other things. Dance Dance Revolution games for the PlayStation, as well as Poppin' Music and things like that, had append discs. You needed to have the base. So, for example, on Dreamcast, Poppin' Music 1 was a standalone product. Poppin' Music 2 could be used as a standalone, but if you wanted to get Poppin' Music 3, you needed to own Poppin' Music 2 first and then swap the discs out.
What?
Yeah. I think I know some of these games, like the Dance Dance Revolutions and things, were released in the States as well, but I think they did it very differently.
Just a quick note here. unaware that we are necessarily currently recording a podcast and that this is our topic, Phil has been sending me pictures of his full TARDIS Doctor Who Lego set.
Nice.
Because I mentioned to him how I kind of need that, and so he was taunting me now.
Okay.
Yep. Just thought I'd put that out there.
But that's not a dimension set. That's
no,
like
it's not a dimension set.
Regular vanilla, like, just regular-ass Legos.
Regular vanilla, super expensive. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's like Legos. I don't know if anyone has bought them recently.
Oh,
those
yeah.
Those sets are expensive.
Okay.
So one way to look at this is, like, you're getting, like, a video game with this expensive Lego set. Because
yeah,
30 bucks for, like, these three little figurines is a lot, yeah, even by Lego standards.
Yeah,
but Legos are already artificially expensive. But anyway, I think the Lego Dimensions way of doing this is insidious and brilliant. Because
insidious.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's much like how a lot of companies have tried to put on, like, what is it? Made it harder and harder to resell old games by making some of it, some
right.
of the special features need to
yep.
be activated.
Yep.
I know there's a secondhand market for Skylanders and stuff. I saw it when I was last in the States. I saw a lot of used figurines and things like that. But the thing with the Lego things is since a lot of them, you know, the collectors are never going to sell them, and the people who are maybe the kids who bought them, and they're definitely going to lose one or two pieces.
Oh boy! Well, I was going to say I thought this was antithetical to the whole DLC idea, but maybe you're onto something there, and that it's not as off as I thought. Because what my thinking was is that people can either like share this stuff, which they can't with downloadable DLC. Or just that there is a secondary market that you can use, and then they lose out that way, because the entire point of having DLC for your disc titles was to avoid the pitfalls of the secondary market.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess as long as they're selling this stuff, maybe they are making more money than they would otherwise. I guess.
The problem I have with these type of games is I'm not really into collecting toys. And that's for people who are, this is a match made in heaven.
That's true.
I totally see like how excited you guys are, because you already are into
not a problem over here.
collecting figures and stuff, and then it's a video game that allows integration with those. It's a bonus for something you would probably be buying anyway, as Zach's story about Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's absolutely wonderful, but I'm not the type of person who normally buys figures very, very occasionally and rarely. But I am a person who buys a lot of video games, and I would definitely drop 60 bucks on a Doctor Who game. You know, no question about it. But because, as you said, like with the new Star Wars, they're only making expansions for you know, Disney Infinity. That kind of takes me out of the market for these things. I would definitely buy a Doctor Who game. I would definitely buy another Back to the Future game. I would buy more Lego. I would buy more Lego games. As I said, I've really enjoyed the ones I've played. But I don't know if I'm going to buy Lego Dimensions or Disney Infinity, because space, cost, and I prefer, I'm not casting any judgments on people who buy toys, as video games are toys. I don't know. For someone like me, I would love it a lot more if for those who are not particularly interested in the toys per se, that they just made some like cards with a little chip inside that cost $2. I would buy a ton of those.
That's the PC version of Disney Infinity.
Really?
No base. Yeah. The PC version, if I recall correctly, no base. You can just download the you can buy the toys, and it has like a card to unlock there's like a code to unlock it, the character in the game.
Oh, really?
But yeah, or you could just, I think you just pay money for it.
Well, that's so weird, because isn't the base just a USB port?
Oh, yeah.
That's very strange.
I think only the Xbox One is proprietary. The PS3, PS4, and Wii ones are totally interchangeable as well.
Wait. How is the Xbox One proprietary?
It's still USB, but Xbox is the signal going in or whatever is their own, like, they have their own, what's the word I'm looking for? Their own, like a proprietary, signal, like hardware handshake
protocol,
thing that goes
on. Okay.
Yeah. Protocol. That's the word I'm looking for. They have their own protocol. Whereas the, PlayStation just uses a very basic, controller standard. So for instance, you don't need any kind of, thing to, if you have a computer that can use Bluetooth, like I use my PS3 controller on my iMac as a game controller when I play a game on my iMac, because it's just over Bluetooth, and it just recognizes it as just like a generic controller.
Yeah, that's what I use that as well for Steam and stuff.
Same thing with PS4 controllers, and whereas you need a dongle for an Xbox controller, even if you're using it on a Windows computer. Like the Xbox One controller has a dongle that works on Windows 7, 8, and 10.
Huh. You can also use a Wii remote with any computer with Bluetooth.
Right.
But you need some kind of a receiver if you want to do the pointer input, though.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the cross pad and the A B buttons or 1-2 buttons or whatever.
Yep.
They work.
Yeah, I play a lot of indie games that are set up retro style with my Wii remote.
What? I just blew my mind right now. I've been wondering how much the console manufacturers, publishers, whatever, get a cut of these games, because I can't imagine that they get any money from actually selling the toys.
Well, the toys are platform agnostic, so
right, exactly.
They probably get nothing off of that.
I would guess nothing.
I mean, I assume that they can collect some kind of metrics on what sets people are using with their version of the game, but because they can't be sure that they were bought or that they were just swap between friends, is probably no reliable way of saying, oh, look, the Wii U version has this many people using these many toys or whatever.
I think there's everything is just, all those are just accessories that Activision or Disney or Warner Brothers or whoever is just collecting all the money from.
Jeez.
Which makes them very appealing for them to make them. Yeah.
And then only the publishers themselves or only the console manufacturers get a cut of the
licensing fees, right? Yeah.
So wait, what you're saying is for Force Awakens, no console manufacturer is making a dime off one game that is released for it. That is lucrative.
I mean, you still have to buy the Disney Infinity, version 3 base game, which comes with a Clone Wars set.
Yeah.
As Anakin and Ahsoka from Clone Wars. I think they chose them because it's the Disney Infinity style already looks like the Clone Wars anyway.
Sure.
But also, I think it'd be the hardest sell of all of them. So it's pretty easy just to add on an original trilogy or Force Awakens set on top of that. I also noted that there's no prequel trilogy stuff. The Clone Wars set is the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, but that's crazy. Outside of the base game, they're taking the console manufacturers completely out of the process.
You could also buy the base game as a digital download too. For instance, I already have version 2. If I just decide I want to just keep my same base and download version 3, and then just buy characters as I see fit, I can do that.
Uh-huh. There's a discount. There's a discount on that.
I think you spend $30 on the disc only, or download only version, and then you buy your toys separately.
Well, I can see why Nintendo wanted to join this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because it seems like selling this set even for $100, mm-hmm. it's Lego Dimensions, is such a loss leader. You know, mm-hmm. how much does Nintendo see of that cut? Because you're paying for so much hardware in it.
Yeah. I mean,
not my concern, I guess.
Yeah, and Nintendo sees a lot of money from the Amiibos that so that they right. got into it, and they've got their own thing. I would think that at this point, Microsoft and Sony have to be rubbing their hands together, going like, "Can we make toys out of any of this stuff? Right. Can I get? Yeah. Can we do a Halo Mega Bloks game?"
It's like aside from Smash Brothers, like there aren't a lot of games that use the Amiibo's data area on there very much.
I think Mario Party does.
Okay. But you know, it is kind of nice for the most part that the Amiibos will do something in your game, like Mario Maker. It's nice. It's not.
I have given up the idea of using my Amiibos for something useful. I've bought them. I now realize I bought them because I like the look of them and they're up on the shelf. Because I tapped in a bunch for. Most of them aren't even registered with my copy of Smash Brothers. I tapped in the ones I had that worked with Mario Kart in order to unlock those costumes. I tapped in the ones I had that were to work with Mario Maker in order to get those costumes. But I now fully realize here a year later that Amiibos still do exactly what I thought they did a year ago, which is nothing.
But that's the crazy thing, though, is that Nintendo's come on, Nintendo. You've got all these awesome Amiibos, and they look very cool. As I said, I'm not a toy guy, but I have like 15 of them. And if they just did a little more, I could see myself getting into this whole thing. Like
you have 15 ones. You're not into it yet.
The Splatoon ones do something because they have like
individual
missions. But like any of the Smash ones, like owning my Bowser Jr. is not giving me any extra insight to like, if anything, I see my Bowser Jr. ones, but like, can I get 7 more of these for the other Koopa kids?
I'm still not all in. I'll tell you what I'm all in with this, Sean, is when I open the packages.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they're unusable inside. They're still inside the box. Which
that's right. And I haven't opened them because I'm still not sure if I'm keeping them or moving them on. I mean, I've opened a few. My favorite ones, the ones that I want to have. I have a Famicom robot. I have Ness. There's a few that I knew that I was keeping because that's only like 5. So.
Well, to the chagrin of collectors everywhere, I've heard that the Famicom robot is actually slightly different, indistinguishable from Rob.
Oh yeah,
it is different.
It's Famicom colored for one thing.
Well, but I mean, like the actual data is different too. Like there are some games that can distinguish between.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I did not know that.
Right.
I was expecting it would just like at best it would just drop the default color scheme from Famicom robot rather than Rob.
So if I sent one to you, Sean,
yes,
you probably wouldn't be able to use it. Is it region locked?
No, it's not region locked. Just that some games are able to tell the difference between the two.
My Rosalina is actually Rosetta.
Yes.
Rosalina was impossible to get, and so it's like I got from Play Asia Rosetta and Wario.
Yep. Nice.
If you need any Amiibos, Zach, hit me up because I go shopping occasionally.
I think I'm good right now. Because I only went to Play Asia for like one. I've been pretty stingy with most of them, and I'm like now running. We're running to the point where the ones I've skipped because these are common are now becoming less common, like Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
I wanted a Donkey Kong, but he was everywhere.
That was rare.
It's rare now. I don't think they're shipping them anymore. Yeah, like I go walk into Toys R Us, there's no Donkey Kongs now. You find some Diddy Kongs still around, but as far as I don't know if it's like truly rare or whether it's just I don't think they're shipping them right now.
I had so many people have me find them. Yeah, Rosalina and I think it was Shulk, like Xenoblade, because they were locked to a store in the United States.
Yeah.
exclusive.
Yep. I never remember which one's which.
Rosalina was Target exclusive, and yeah, I totally missed out on it. Yeah, Donkey Kong, if I were to buy it on Amazon right now, $35.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it's like all like third party sellers.
And there's another reason it's different from DLC.
I could import the Japanese version for the identical Japanese version.
Yeah.
For 24.
Good lord.
Yeah. And other ones like King Dedede, I think, is also a little hard to find. Kirby, you don't find Kirby anymore.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of Wave 1 guys, aside from like Luigi, Mario.
But you need Kirby to do a lot of stuff in Kirby's Rainbow Curse, though.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have that game.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. But that's another thing. That's another way they're not like DLC, is that DLC doesn't usually go up in price as it goes on.
I've got I did just get Woolly World like today. I played like the first like four, like, you know, 1-1 through 1-6.
Yeah. I'm getting it for my kids for Christmas.
Yeah. It's and so the Woolly amiibo that goes with it, which is like as adorable as you'd probably imagine. They're really cute. But it seems also like the type of thing that will wear out from actual play. I think I'm gonna have to supply my kids with like some kind of other plush Yoshi to play with instead of this one. Dog already tried to eat it in like the short time that it was out on the shelf. But when you tap it to the gamepad, you get double Yoshi. It just puts another Yoshi next to your Yoshi. And it's like, oh,
that's what I've heard. Yeah,
this is cheating. Once again, I haven't run into like a really heavy challenge in that game yet. It appears the challenge seems to be, as far as I can tell, derived from, can I collect all the flowers and all the yarn bits, rather than can I get through this level without losing all my lives or whatever. I don't even know if there's lives in this game.
I heard it gets a lot harder though.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Tropical Freeze was one of my Donkey Kong Country. Tropical Freeze is one of my favorite games thus far.
Such a good game.
And that one is like, you get to the first like world, and then it's like the game, without so much saying, it just pretty much goes, well, you're on your own. I hope you're really good at jumping and throwing things now, because the difficulty ramps up so high.
I was not prepared for that.
Yeah. It's really satisfying, but.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like
the boss battles are hard as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments in that game where it's like you're gonna have to do some trial and error. It's really fun, and it's much like Woolly World. It's really beautiful. That's an amazing looking game. I would have to say if anyone slept on Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, like, get it now. I've seen like marked down to like $35 places. I mean, it's not even full price anymore. Just do yourself a favor. It's really good. Yes, we were born to play on this retro game. Let's take on you in a Famicom cartridge. Oh, God. Thank you for this video game.
Here's how it works. One of my friends comes by the studio, I pick their favorite movie, and we talk about it for 10 minutes.
Luke, why the f*** do you like this movie?
Well, I'll tell you why the f*** I like this movie, Rob.
Go get it. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's brilliant. Do it now, or I'll punch you.
Up top!
This is 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie.
Listen to 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network.
So, speaking of toys, I'm kind of a hypocrite here because I've spent $250 or so on a combined set of three combiners that are Transformers, and I can't even play a game with them. Not even a game that I know Zach wants to talk about.
Oh, this is that's a very clever segue.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So let's move on into Future Retro.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing and try to convince each other if we should.
We're not.
So Zach, what do you have for us?
Oh, if only I could have just put all my existing Transformers figures into my Xbox to play, to play Devastation. It would have made the game so much easier. I wouldn't have been stuck playing a sideswipe for any period of time. I would have put Jetfire in there and just wasted everybody. Transformers Devastation is an ideal title to talk about for a segment called Future Retro because we're living in the future, right? In some fashion.
Yeah.
And this game looks like it should have been made, 30 years ago. Sean, have you played this at all?
I have not played it, but I have seen the video of it, and I think it's amazing. And it's made by Platinum Games, right?
Yes.
My God.
This is Bayonetta with Transformers.
I'm not into Transformers so much, but I want this game.
Yeah. It's fun. The voice actors are all from the original Transformers series. So some people try to make a big deal, like, oh, Peter Cohen and Frank Welker as Optimus Prime and Megatron respectively. Yeah, they've already voiced Optimus Prime and Megatron a bunch of times,
like even in recently.
In a Michael Bay movie within the last 2 years. It's like they've already done that much. Dan Gilvezan as Bumblebee, man, that hasn't happened in like a lifetime. That is
nice.
That's old school. Michael Bell as Sideswipe, these guys are back. Nice. I can't remember who plays Wheeljack, but the original Wheeljack was Chris Latta, who unfortunately passed. But so it's not the original Wheeljack or Starscream. But I really appreciate that they got decent sound alike for both of those. Wheeljack in particular sounds really great. I think he sounds just like Wheeljack for my money. Almost nothing sounds like Starscream after the fact. But anybody who puts their own swing on is fine by me, I guess. What are you gonna do? It's a character action game where you start out with only being able to play as Bumblebee or Prime or something like that. As you progress through the game, you'll unlock the other characters to play as, and then you can really play as any of them in any of the levels, or even going back to the beginning of the game. There's a weird kind of crafting thing that goes on. All the enemies tend to drop weapons, and then you can use those weapons to like level up, combine them, like burn one weapon to improve another one, or have Wheeljack like build buffs for your character, like, increase your speed or critical hit rate or whatever. So there's kind of a meta game in just improving your character and its weapons, but there's combos and stuff like that, but you can really make it if you're diligent about just making sure your character has like the best gun or best axe or fist or whatever, that you can possibly build, you can kind of button mash your way through the game. And the only parts I really had trouble button mashing is about halfway through the game. You start running into very large enemies and bosses and swarms. And then I found I had to like get super cheap with these. I would transform into a car, ram into the boss to kind of stun them, start a combo, and then like you can finish the combo by transforming back into a car and ramming again. And I could chain that a couple times if I was quick enough to try to like beat down their health before the particular instance I'm thinking of that has three of them. Is it spoilers if I just say it's the Insecticons? Whatever. So three gigantic Insecticons are beating the living snot out of you. And so I had to do that section a bunch of times. Before I really like kind of found a good rhythm, I was able to like knock down one and then focus on the other two while still like dodging fire from like other Insecticon minions. They're going with the Transformers animated like route of there being just thousands of these buggers. But the story is just a freshly cheesy straight from the original show, about Megatron wanting to terraform Earth or whatever, or take control of some power in order to rule the galaxy or whatever. But it also has the stories written by Andy Schmidt, who's a writer or editor from IDW Comics. And so it doesn't directly fit in with any of the current Transformers comic series,
sure.
but does take cues from it. There are references to Nova Prime, for instance.
Ah.
Nova Prime does not appear as a playable character anywhere in the game, but there's an unused like character model that's clearly based on a the Combiner Wars Optimus Prime figure, like decoed as Nova Prime, which makes a whole lot of sense now if you're following Transformers Combiner Wars as a comic or toy series. When you see the Battlecore Optimus Prime, that's white. It's like, okay. this figure was definitely supposed to be Nova Prime at some point. They changed the deco slightly, so it's just a white Optimus Prime.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. Nova Prime, for the uninitiated, was a Prime that came way before Optimus and went into a black hole with a bunch of other guys. So he predates Autobots or Decepticons.
By quite a bit.
Yeah, by several million years. And was never seen from again until he popped up a couple years back. Having spent several million years in the dead universe, and you know, he is really evil.
And along with Cyclonus, who was one of my favorite characters in the new series.
Cyclonus, Galvatron, Giaxis. I mean, it's a who's who of bad guys from the old series. Although Cyclonus isn't really a bad guy.
No, yeah.
Yeah, he's
just old school.
He's just old school, yeah. He remains unaffiliated to this day. Whenever someone tries to call him a Decepticon, he's very quick to correct, I am not a Decepticon. He's on Hot Rod ship. He's with these guys. He's with Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod.
I'm a little behind right now, but I'm reading an issue where he's basically looking where his boyfriend is. So,
Tailgate, yeah.
Yeah. What an unlikely pair. Anywho.
Another thing to recommend, if you're not reading Transformers More Than Meets the Eye comics, if you have even a passing interest in Transformers, or if you read comics, highly recommended. I'm not just Sean and I are not just saying this because of Transformers.
Right.
These are legitimately good comics.
It is. I mean, I brought it up last episode, I believe, and it still stays true. I'm just finally getting through the ones I hadn't read yet. So
yeah. They're funny. They have a lot of fresh takes on characters. There's a lot of like cast that's not from any of the old cartoons or movies. So you don't have to worry about like, do I even know who these guys are? Because they're unexplored characters. Swerve was never used before, and Swerve is a major character in More Than Meets the Eye book. So all the characterization for Swerve that you really need to know is in this book that you're reading. You don't have to like know who Swerve is beforehand. There's not 30 years of biography you need to catch up on.
30 years of Swerve backstory.
Right. Well, that's the problem with like, if I said like, oh, this Iron Man movie is good, I want to know more about Iron Man. Well, where do I start? You know?
Right. Fair enough.
That's a problem with some of these more, these newer movies with characters. You know, if I'm a young guy just starting to, I remember a few years ago, a guy I worked with was he had never read any comics before, and he's like, I really want to start reading comics. Where do I start? I'm like, man, I don't even know.
Right.
It's like I lent him a couple like paperbacks that I had, and he burned through them. It's like, and at the time he was like trying to get into DC Comics, and New 52 was happening. I was like, I guess like if New 52 doesn't annoy you off the bat as it did some long-term readers, because he was brand new to it. It's like, this is, you're perfect for New 52. Just read this stuff.
Right.
You know, because there's virtually no baggage from it. Very unique case for that guy. Yeah. So that's my future retro, because I think I don't know that this game has really long legs. It's not a very long game. But I think it is, it's replayable. If you enjoy that type of thing, if you like these kind of action games. The story's cheesy and fun. The voice acting's fun. It kind of takes a more revised approach to the old Transformers thing by fixing stuff that frankly is broken. You know, Megatron does not turn into a gun. He turns into a tank. He's more modern tank self.
Fair enough.
But the couple boss fights you have with Megatron would not have worked if he was a gun.
Sure.
Right, yeah, have a big boss fight with a tank that can run you over and knock you off the screen. That works.
Nice. What platforms can you buy this for?
It's on Xbox 360, One, PS3, and PS4.
Wii U. Right.
The only difference between the last and like new generation platforms is that the new generation platforms do run at 60 frames per second.
Okay.
But otherwise they're identical between the two.
So I'm getting this for a PS4, you're saying.
Exactly. If you wanted to get it, I would definitely say get it for a PS4, Xbox One, just because I think 60 frames per second does make a difference when you're talking about a very fast game. I didn't think it would until I started playing games at 60 frames per second. Now when I go back to a game like Destiny that only runs at 30, and it's like, why is my game running all broken? Halo runs at 60. What's wrong with Destiny?
I have this problem when I play Doja mode in Splatoon with my son. Like, you know, it has to go down to 30 so it can render to both the gamepad and the TV at the same time. But like, some of the effects are still in 60 frames per second, and it throws me off every single time. It's just like, it's so jarring.
Yeah.
To me, anyway. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear Vink's selection doesn't have that frame rate problem. So, Vink, what do you have for us? A future retro or a pile of shame?
My title today is I Senshi Nicole. This is a Famicom Disk System game. So probably not many people have heard of it, although it was released by Konami. Kind of the early days of disk system, like 87, 88. And probably that's the reason we didn't get it, because at that time, Nintendo was still on its like five games is all you get to release per year. Was it per year?
Yeah, I think it was per year. Yep.
Something like, and then Konami formed the Ultra label, remember? So they could have like five more titles.
Yep.
But anyway, but Konami was releasing tons and tons of stuff, so a lot of stuff just didn't get released. But I'm led to believe that this one was intended to, because all the text in the game is in English, or at least a lot of the story text, and you know, item names and things like that. It's very playable. It's an action game. Have you ever played Blaster Master?
Yes.
Or Fester's Quest, or you know, something like that, or Alien Syndrome, like, you know, kind of that top-down shoot 'em. But like more so than that, it's got really you know, complex dungeons in the games too. You know, multi-level things. It's set in like a kind of like cheesy B movie sci-fi type stuff. I Senshi Nicole is what is it? What would you translate to? Like, love warrior, Nicole. Your girlfriend's kidnapped. You're a guy who looks like you belong on like a David Bowie album cover, off to save her. And I don't know. It's just a really, really fun game. It's got cool bosses that you can, you know, that whole top down, like, you know, perspective. What could I compare it to? Ikari Warriors, or, well, even Zelda. You could even compare it to Zelda. You know, just that overhead view of being able to, you know, just get around the boss, upgradable weapons. And this is during the Konami days where they really were putting a lot of work into their games, too, with music and the graphics and things like that. I've been playing it a lot lately. And I've been talking about it a little bit, and I'm always hearing people surprised that they've never even heard of it before. But if you have a disk system, that I'd say track it down. It's a little more pricey than, you know, it's a pretty common game, but it's much like Castlevania is a common game. It fetches a little bit more of a price because people don't part with it as much. But really fun little game.
And that one's on Famicom Disk System, right?
Famicom Disk System. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have ever been ported to anything else. Like, at least as far as I know, it's not available on any collection of games. It wasn't re-released as part of like Virtual Console or anything, I don't think.
Let's suppose for a second that I am a less moral individual. Can I steal it? Okay.
Can you steal it? Well, I mean, you can steal anything that's not nailed down, but
can you nail down bits?
Well, a lot of times when you start talking about these rare games, it's like, well, I could spend a fortune to get the system or whatever else, or I could just download it somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, I mean,
I know that's a gray area.
We don't necessarily condone that practice, but I mean, I'm sure emulators have cracked the disc system a long time ago. I don't know if there's I don't really emulate disc system games, so I don't know if they've gotten the FM synthesis sound right, but I know there are emulators out there for it. So but again, if you do have a disc system, it's very import friendly. You don't need a translation patch or anything because it's already in English. So either way, worth playing. I wonder if this one was released on the Wii Virtual Console near the end, because they were releasing a few Japanese games with low language barrier. Oh. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. So you might be able to play it without stealing it.
Because okay. I gotta fix my either my twin or my disc system. My main disc system has a belt that still works ish. It's just not reading any games anymore. I'm getting those read errors constantly for everything now. Unless all my games happen to be dead, which I don't think is the case. We'll see. Yeah.
Zombie disc.
So what's yours?
I have a Future Retro.
Yay!
Because it was free, I downloaded Monument Valley.
Oh, yeah. It was free?
It was free.
Is it still free?
I don't know. I mean, how do I find out now that I downloaded it already?
Let me give you another. Let me hear what you have to say about it first.
Sure. No,
it might actually be worth buying.
I loved it. In fact, I wish I could pay more money for it than I did, and I did pay some money for it, which I'm going to get to.
You could buy me a copy.
Well, I could. See, there you go.
Then you can pay more money for it.
Merry Christmas, Vink. I really did enjoy this game. It just has that quality of, like, you know, indie titles that I just really love. It reminded me a bit of like the atmospherics of Braid. Like, the gameplay was a lot like Fez without all like the pretentiousness and personal drama.
Was there personal drama in Fez, or are you just talking about the creator?
The personal drama wasn't incorporated into the plot.
But there was no Fez 2 because reasons. Anyway, like if you like got put into an Escher painting, that's like what this game is basically. There's a lot of like impossible physics or perspective tricks to get your character across to the goals. And it's for iOS, at least the version I bought. So I think that there's like I'm sure there's one for iPad. I'm not sure what other platforms it's available for, but I played mine on my iPhone 6. And it was quite enjoyable. I actually was a little worried it wouldn't wrap up in difficulty right away. And in fact, my oldest was able to play the game right up until the middle of the third level when it got a little too hard for him.
That actually makes it even a little more appealing for me, though, because I love to play games that you can do it on the iPad, right?
Yes. In fact, I first heard about this game because of a Netflix series you may have heard of called House of Cards. Surprise.
Here's an interesting thing about House of Cards.
Yes.
It's a Netflix original series, but in Japan, it is available exclusively on Hulu. I am not kidding, because Netflix Japan only launched about 5 months ago here, But before that, the only American streaming network was Hulu, and Hulu paid for exclusive rights to House of Cards. And when I got Hulu, Netflix, I decided to cancel Hulu. Because I didn't want to pay for both services. And I'm like, well, House of Cards is a Netflix. I hadn't gotten around to House of Cards yet, but I'm like, it's a Netflix original show. It'll be on Netflix. Nope.
Right.
Ridiculous.
I haven't watched House of Cards either. So.
All right.
That's my TV good. Pile of shame. So.
Right.
I watched Jessica Jones. I figured that I'm at least with the zeitgeist on that. That's like, that was a new show.
I just started that yesterday. I'm done with episode one, and it's so far very well made.
Yeah, I'm rewatching David Tennant Doctor Who to wash my brain.
Yeah, we're officially afraid of David Tennant now in this household. So
Monument Valley was being played in like the third season, I think, of House of Cards by Kevin Spacey's character Francis Underwood. You know, just in the background, he was established as a gamer early on in the series. I think he played like Call of Duty or something in his downtime to de-stress. So it's an interesting little character quirk, but it's
not like Kevin Spacey was in a Call of Duty too.
Oh God. See,
he was the villain in Advanced Warfare, I think.
Layers within layers.
Wow.
So I played through Monument Valley. There's 10 levels that it comes with. And a lot like other games like Braid that makes you think there's like more going on to the story than what you might initially think. That is also the case here, so I won't say much more than that. But I really enjoyed the experience. And it wasn't terribly long, but for games like this, I don't expect them to be. And I very gladly paid $2 for the expansion pack, which I guess some people called DLC, or rather microtransactions, and that the developer, was it like USA2 Games or something? I got to look that up and make sure I got that right.
Did you have to buy a plastic monument to get that?
I did not. Yeah, USA2, US2 Games. Or Us 2? Us 2, maybe? Maybe it's Us 2 Games.
Probably Us 2.
But so I guess there's like this whole controversy around that by a bunch of entitled butthurt gamers, which is a funny thing for me to talk about after the entire topic of this show.
Listen, they already paid their $2 to $5. What do you expect?
I don't know. It was $1.99 for this expansion. $2.10 with taxes. I paid it gladly without hesitation. It doesn't even come up as a possibility until you've played through the entire main game. But
I don't know, man. Seems like greedy devs to me.
they even included a level they had made specifically for charity and has some of the most creative stuff in it compared to like the main game. It's just super there are some I just kind of want to go back and play now, and you can at any time. There's I don't know, this like four-sided thing that pivots, and then all 10 levels are on those sides, which is part of the whole perspective thing that they have going for it. But you play as the character Ida, who is apparently a princess who is going through the Monument Valley to correct a wrong, essentially, I guess, and that's really all I can say without saying too much, because again, it's not a very long game, but the perspective tricks and ways you got to rotate things and move stuff around, and the different rules that you come across as it gets more complex, are very, very interesting to me. I just love puzzle games in general, so for whatever you can buy it for on iOS, I am sure it is worth it.
All right, Sean, you have totally sold me on allowing you to gift the game to me.
Well, I appreciate that.
And if any of you listeners out there would like to gift games to me so that I may play them, feel free to do so at no.
It's four bucks on my end here.
$4? Okay.
Yeah. $4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so $6 total for this, absolutely worth it. Absolutely. Without question.
I mean I've spent much more on junk food, so I think whenever people get upset about like, you know, a $3 or $4 app, I think to myself, man, if I get like an hour out of this, that's more than I get out of like a bag of chips.
Oh, easily. So, easily.
I am totally fine with you know, paying for apps and things. The one thing that gets me is occasionally like you pay a premium price, like the Square apps. You know, Square Enix, some of those are like $20 and they're broken with new iOS updates. That's what I don't like. But like a game that's like $4 that you play for a few hours, you know, even if it doesn't last forever, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, I'd rather buy like 15 $4 games than one $60 game that might not be good.
And the thing here too, that compared to like these mega publishers that are trying to make a lot of money off Toys to Life games, is that, you know, I'm sure this is like a small indie publisher, and this is a way for them to make money, and I have no problem supporting them. mm-hmm. especially when the amount is so little.
Right.
And the replayability, for me at least, is high. So, all right. Let's bring it home then, I guess.
All right.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Dentrymail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
Okay, for all of you who are too long, didn't listen, we talked today that Toys to Life, if you happen to like toys and like video games, it's a good deal. It's a lot of things that Sean was wrong at. So if you listen to our previous podcast, please forget everything we talked about and mm-hmm. replace it with this one. Let's call this our Toys to Life 2.0 podcast.
Why not just call what it is? Just call it Sean Wrong.
Sean was wrong.
Sean Long, who was a toy review. Oh, God, the layers. The layers.
What's up, Famicom Dojo fans?
That guy.
Maybe three people who listen to the show will even get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the interview that Adam did with him once way back in the day. Oh,
I really did feel like Captain America. I really did feel like Captain America a lot in this podcast because mm-hmm. I didn't get that reference.
Yeah. I could have talked about Lego Dimensions more. I really did like the Doctor Who levels. I mentioned Trendzalore. There's a lot of great music in there. Very, very mood, inducing, but,
I'm sure we'll talk about it again when you forget that we talked about it today.
Yes, in a couple
or when he buys another set.
This is the last episode of 2015, like the last full episode anyway.
Oh, really? This one's coming out? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
So,
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach, for being with us. Is there anything you wanted to plug, maybe perchance?
Okay, it's not necessarily a secret that one of my fans of my old show, No Topic Required, which crossed over this show at some point in the past,
yes.
Asked, were you guys going to do like a podcast for Force Awakens? I thought, oh, okay, fine. Sometime next weekend after I've seen it and Adam has seen it, and we're also going to have Vincent from the blog Robots Pajamas on the show to form a panel. Vincent's kind of a Star Wars expert. He's in the midst of, you go to his Twitter page or whatever, I think it's on this Robots Pajama blog as well. He's doing a Star Wars t-shirt challenge where he's wearing a different Star Wars t-shirt every single day in December because he owns that many. So I think he's qualified to talk about Star Wars with
us.
Nice. Yeah. I've just got my one. I've got an episode one era turquoise shirt that has Mace Windu and Yoda smiling on it. Now Mace Windu does not smile at any point in those movies, so you know this was a posed photograph.
Right,
this is Samuel Jackson smiling. He's like, haha, I'm in Star Wars. That's all he
thing
wanted
to smile about.
So yeah, as Zach mentioned, they hosted our April Fool's Day episode, which I think was 90, I want to say.
Somewhere around there.
It's in the feed. That was 2014 that they came by, and we did a little swap. So we hosted their show as well. And I've also been a guest on their show a few times, and that feed is still out there if you want to listen to any of that wonderfulness.
Yeah. It's notoprequired.tumblr.com is the blog, so to speak. And we have a Facebook page that notoprequired. I still get views on it. So it's like, I feel like it's not totally dead.
Right.
It's still around, so we'll come back and do another one.
Why I hope not? So, because I enjoyed it very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the time we have this week. The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net.
Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at illustrations.co.uk. Find us at famicondojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network. So until next time, the dojo is...
Unavailable for your listening pleasure unless you purchase a 3-inch-tall plastic figure of Sean.
Oh, man. New merchandising opportunities.
I'll tell you what.
Pixel versions.
If you get that on your Kickstarter.
Oh, God.
Even if it was, if I get unofficial Famicom Dojo amiibos.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about this. Let's take it offline.
Famicom Dojo.
God. Do you know anybody with a 3D printer?
No. Ben Heck.
How much would it cost to 3D print like a dozen of those things?
Oh, I have no idea.
We'd have to design them too. That's $100 worth of work.
You gotta make them 3D.
Here's what happens. We gotta make them actually work on the Wii, so we buy real amiibos and saw off the bottoms. So that if you get your Sean amiibo and you actually try to play it in Smash, it's Zero Suit Samus.
Oh no! I was gonna say Luigi. I mean, because obviously,
I would think it just do get some Mii Fighter 3 packs.
Oh yeah!
There you go.
Oh yeah!
The punchy guy looks enough like Sean. Maybe yeah. I don't know.
Sean is the punchy guy.
Yeah.
More like Paunchy. Oh!